You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal!
Scoring the goals
and goals.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the League podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the televised matches on Good Friday now. We'll be hearing a little bit more from Pete Farries later on the rest of the Championship. Also, Gav Puchalowski's thoughts on League One and Al Ross on League Two on what is a very, very busy bank holiday weekend of Football League action. But as mentioned, we'll be focusing in on the televised fixtures to start the podcast. Sam Norris here, and joining me on the line to look at the three televised games on Good Friday, Mr. Pete Farries. How are you, Pete?
Good day. I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. What a veritable banquet of football we've got this weekend.
Yeah, tinged with a little bit of sadness, though, as well, knowing that the end is nigh.
Yeah.
That fills me with not a great deal of joy, I've got to say. But this is the best time. I went for a meal with my girlfriend and some of her friends and their partners. It's all very middle class and 30-year-old.
It sounds it. Yeah, extremely.
But we all went for a meal the other night, and it was the first time I'd met one of her girlfriend's partners or whatever. And he said to me, "Oh, what's the best time of the year, would you say, to bet?" And I said, "This."
Yeah.
"This is the best time of the year to bet." You and I had a bit of a chat about this the other day, didn't we, in the office?
Yeah, Sam.
Because traders price teams up in a way that, well, they have to win, so therefore they are going to be short, which is fine if you're a team at the top of the table. It's not fine if you're a team at the bottom. Now, I actually do think that, as you'll hear later on, that Bristol City will beat QPR this weekend, but that's not just because that's what has to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The form lines, I think, add up as well. But it is... It's an amazing time of year to bet this. It really, really is. I'm genuinely thoroughly excited, I've got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And with a full programme of Championship action on Good Friday and also on Easter Monday as well, we've got plenty to get stuck into. We'll start, though, in League Two with the televised fixture coming up at 2:30, the Dockyard Derby, Portsmouth versus Plymouth. Pompey in the betting at 8-13. The draw is 14-5, and Plymouth are in the betting at 9-2. A couple of enhanced odds offers on this one. Naismith to score in a Portsmouth win was 2-1, now 9-4. And Graham Carey to score in a Plymouth win, that was 8-1. It's now being pushed out to 9-1. These sides currently sitting in second and third in the table. They've crucially got a bit of a gap to Luton, who are in fourth. Pompey are 8 points clear of Luton, and Plymouth a further four ahead of Portsmouth. I get the feeling that there might just be a bit of a party atmosphere at Fratton Park, Pete, from both sets of fans on Friday.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it, this one? Because Portsmouth, finally, you'd argue, under Paul Cook, are going to get over the line here. 8 points away from Luton. I mean, they lose this, it could get a little hairy for them, theoretically. You look at them and you think, well, if they lose this against a very good side, I mean, Luton on Friday, have got Leighton Orient.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, if you look at Luton's running, that's a possible, you know, 5 out of 5 running. Leighton Orient, Mansfield, Notts County, okay, Accrington are tough, and then Morecambe.
Mm.
So really, Pompey aren't there yet, let's be fair.
Yeah.
Plymouth are. I really can't see, a 12-point swing in those games, knowing that Plymouth have got a couple of games left as well to play themselves. I just can't see it myself. But Paul Cook knows how to see this thing out. I mean, I was covering the club that he last got promoted, of course, and almost got promoted twice in a row. And the guy knows how to see these things out. He's a talented manager, even if you have different opinions on him as a person, but that's a different thing. Anyway, look, the point is here that I would certainly think that Plymouth are decent value, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd agree. I was very surprised to see them as big as 9-2, although I couldn't get the draw out of my mind, Pete. I just think it would suit both teams perfectly.
It absolutely would. I mean, Plymouth won the game earlier in the season between these two 1-0, didn't they? But that was, I think, a last-minute or last-five-minute goal between the two of them, so you can't read too much into that. But this is the point I'm trying to make here a little bit. Now, Plymouth are an exceptional side. Away from home, a little dodgy, let's be fair. Away from home, losses at... I'm sorry, they were beaten at home by Leighton Orient, weren't they? But you know, plenty of draws in there, which I think is what makes them a little dodgy in terms of winning this. But I keep coming back here to Plymouth and thinking 9-2 is absolutely unnecessary. It really is huge. I mean, plus a goal odds against for Plymouth with those draws that I've mentioned, it is definitely a play. Now, you know, Portsmouth throw in the occasional wobbler. You know, Crewe, Morecambe, for example, Exeter, Stevenage, Donny, okay, fair enough, but Notts County. Those are teams who aren't exactly incredible. Hartlepool drew at Fratton Park. And if Plymouth take the lead, there might be a little bit of nerves that take over. So I would rather the plus a goal Plymouth, which of course gives you the draw, should you need it. I'd much rather that than I would Plymouth on the outright or Portsmouth on the outright. I just think that Plymouth, for the quality of side, are far too big. And then you look down some goal scorers. I mean, Cal Naismith's been in great home goal scoring form, hasn't he? I think it's 4-5 for him, 17-10. You've got Graham Carey, 13-5. I mean, that's a big price for Carey considering how well he's done this season. I wouldn't argue with both teams to score necessarily. I don't think that's an awful price at 19-20. But I'd go for the plus a goal Plymouth. I think the draw is the most likely, definitely. But I also want a little bit of a play on Plymouth too, so I'll have that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I think that's a very fair way in. Plymouth,
oh, good. I'm glad I passed your test.
You're glad you get the seal of approval. I very often agree with you, to be fair. And draw, for me, it just screamed at this game. But I take your point. Having Plymouth on side as well, and you're getting odds against about those two outcomes. I mean, if you think about it, you're getting odds against about the side in second either drawing or beating the side in third. That isn't a bad way to go about things, regardless of what league we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Plymouth plus a goal, then the selection for Pete at 5-4. We go to the live televised championship action now on Friday night, and we start at Molineux with Wolves taking on Brighton. Wolves in the betting here at 2-1. The draw is 23-10, and Brighton are 11-8. Enhanced odds on this one. Helder Costa to score in a Wolves win, that was 9-2, is now 5-1. And Glenn Murray to score in a Brighton win, that was 14-5, and it's now been pushed out to 100-30. Brighton obviously hit the top of the championship proper last weekend after Newcastle's blip against Sheffield Wednesday. They've got a 2-point cushion now over Newcastle. And for both those sides, Pete, it really is all about just getting over the line. And that automatic promotion is so crucial. I don't think Newcastle will be too disappointed if they get promoted in second. And I have to say, Wolves last week against Bristol City had the look of a side who looked a little bit done for the season, I must admit.
Flip-flops. It is flip-flops. Yeah. I mean, to get Brighton at 13-10 here is outrageous to me, if I'm honest. 11-8 as they are now, sorry. Yes. Yeah, they're 13-10, almost well, been 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, traders. but no, 11-8. To get Brighton at 11-8, odds against, basically, I'd have snapped your hand off for 5-4.
Yeah.
I really think it's an exceptional price. Wolves, like I say, flip-floppity-flip-flops in all over the place.
Yeah.
Battered by Bristol City at Bristol City, which isn't the most dignity-filled result, is it?
No.
They were my nap last week. I thought they were a great play. But I think looking at it, you can kind of understand now, can't you? Look, they're 11 points away from relegation. It's possible they go down. It isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So mathematically, it's possible. They'll need two more wins, maybe win the draw. You know, just maybe 4 points probably just to completely confirm all of this. But do you think that Paul Lambert's going to go, right, lads, we're going to put all of our effort into getting it against Brighton?
Yeah. No, exactly. I completely agree. And there's Helder Costa looks likely to be back this weekend.
Which is helpful.
Yeah, he's missed a couple of weeks for injury. He may not be razor fit. Kyle Akimi will be missing the game in goal, which means either Andy Lonergan or young Harry Burgoyne comes in, who's only 18 years of age. So without your goalkeeper and potentially your best player, it's beginning to look very difficult against the table toppers.
And in what, 2 weeks, you've got Blackburn at home, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You beat Blackburn at home, done.
Yeah.
Because you've got Leeds, you've got some tough games, Huddersfield. Those are tough games, you know. That's a tough running. This charge toward the end of the season has been absolutely vital, hasn't it? Because your running is not easy.
Definitely, yeah.
But at the same time, Brighton are 11-8. Brighton are phenomenal on telly this season. Their record is borderline perfect. Not quite, but borderline perfect on TV. And considering how often they've been on TV this season, you have to be impressed by that. I just can't see a way in which odds against on Brighton. You know, some games you kind of go, right, well, this team's done well in the northwest. This team is travelling for 4 hours. This team has 8 or 9 injuries. And sometimes you go, Brighton are phenomenal. A victory here confirms promotion. They're good on the telly. Glenn Murray is maybe looking a little sharper in front of goal again. 6-4 any time for him. You've got Anthony Knockett, who always looks sharp on the telly. 17-10 any time. You've got a side who will probably focus on maybe three games. The last game of the season against Preston, if they have to. Blackburn in 2 weeks. And maybe Derby?
Yeah, essentially.
But generally speaking, they win that Blackburn game, it's done. So really, are they going to care about that? You know, problems, as you say, possibly in goal. Please give me 11-8 on Brighton. Please let me have 11-8 when I have my Acca. I've not had it yet, but please let it still be 11. I mean, actually, if we're being honest, please let it be 66-1. But
well, yeah.
If we're being realistic, then please let it stay at 11-8, because that price to me just screams just an absolute bucket, an overflowing bucket of value.
Yeah, I've got a feeling everywhere. that 11-8 is bound to come under pressure and will be gone by the time these two kick off.
It'll be odds on, won't it?
Yeah, I would have thought so. It's just, you mentioned Anthony Knockett out there, 17-10 any time. He's obviously just won the Championship Player of the Season. A deserving victory for him?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say, as with anything, this is incredibly subjective, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think it's pretty clear who one of my couple of players this season, he would have been in my team. I think, I put it this way, he would have been in my team and therefore fine.
Yes.
You know, there's a few out there. I mean, Tom Kearney's created more opportunities than any other player in the Championship this season. Has been a huge part of the Fulham charge for the playoffs when many thought actually they could slip the other way this season. He would have been on the list without question. Chris Wood has to be on the list for the goals that he's scored and the way that he's played. Pontus Janssen would be there as well.
Yep.
I think Philip Billing, when he's played for Huddersfield this season, has been. I've never failed to be anything other than impressed with Philip Billing. I could actually sit here and probably do an entire starting 11, but this is a podcast about betting. But there's been, I mean, Matt Ritchie, Jonjo Shelvey, you think about how important he's been to Newcastle this season. Their form has visibly dipped when there's been no Jonjo Shelvey in that starting 11 this season. You could go to some of the Preston backline, who I think have been absolutely exceptional. It's a really, really good... It's been a good season, actually, this. And it really is upsetting me talking about it like it's almost past tense.
Yes.
What am I going to do for 3 months?
We haven't even got an international tournament either this summer.
I know.
So, yeah.
What am I going to do?
Slim pickings.
Help me, Sam.
I can't, Pete. I can't.
Oh, God. You can talk about horses. I haven't even got that. Just sit by myself for 3 months.
There's always golf, Pete.
There is always golf. I'm going to play golf every single day of the summer.
And there'll be tennis as well. There's always tennis.
That is true.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine, Pete.
We'll be all right.
We'll get through it.
We'll get over the line.
Let's go to the final televised championship game then on Good Friday. And this is at St James's Park. Newcastle taking on Leeds. 4-6 for Newcastle. 13-5 about the draw. And Leeds are 9-2. A couple of enhanced odds on this one. Dwight Gayle to score in a Newcastle win. That was 7-5. Is now 6-4. And Chris Wood to score in a Leeds win was 7-1. And we've pushed it out of points to 8-1. Obviously, Newcastle, we mentioned them a little bit earlier on. They're currently second. They've slipped behind Brighton, but they've still got a healthy gap over Huddersfield. They're 10 points clear. And Leeds are looking to solidify their playoff spot. Both sides just needing to underline this season, I think, here, Pete.
This has got... the phrase mutually beneficial draw sounds very kind of grim, doesn't it? And dodgy, and I'm not suggesting anything like that, but a draw would be fine for both.
Yeah.
For Leeds now, this is a case of let's just stay in the playoffs. They weren't expected really to out-and-out challenge for them. They're only 3 points clear of sixth. Of course, sixth is under pressure. A draw here, that's kind of all right. If you're Gary Monk, you're thinking, you're going to Newcastle, you're getting a draw. I mean, admittedly, Newcastle only won two of the last five games. So, so you might argue on the other side of it, well, look, 9-2 is a bit big. But then Leeds away from home. That's the other thing you've then got to throw into that bracket, isn't it? Leeds away from home. Not scored in the last two at Reading or at Brentford. Drew at Fulham, drew at Ipswich, lost at Huddersfield. I mean, wins against Blackburn and Birmingham. And you know, they're impressive away. They're fine impressive results. Fine away results. An impressive one against Preston, I suppose, to a certain extent, relatively recently as well. Boxing Day, I think that was, wasn't it? But Newcastle do occasionally throw a bit of a howler in at home, don't they? That's the other thing that you'd say, well, look, 9-2 is a bit big. Because losing at home to Fulham, because of Fulham's quality, you'd say fair enough.
Mm.
But that's kind of indicative of a couple of teams. For example, with all due respect, again, Wolves won there.
Yep.
Blackburn won there. You know, the other good teams, Huddersfield, Sheffield Wednesday. But Leeds are in that bracket this season. Ultimately, I'm going right slap bang down the middle here because I think again, you look at the league table as it is. A draw will move Newcastle, a nice little chunk further away from Huddersfield. Yes, Huddersfield have got a game in hand and I think win this weekend, but a point is fine. Just another game down, another game ticked off, another point on the board against a tough team, arguably probably their toughest game that's left this season. For Leeds, a point is fine as well, because it's a tough old game. It is certainly not a game where they'd be going into it going, right, this should be a 3 points on the absolute, on the board. I mean, on the board. Because, actually, again, you look at what Leeds have got to come. Burton, again, with all due respect, Wolves.
Yep.
They host Norwich, who aren't, of course, a great away side. And they go to Wigan, who they should beat. So, again, if you're looking at that, that is not a scary run-in. And a draw right down the middle here, you know, that is a decent-looking 13-5. And if you fancy Newcastle, then the Gale odd is there, Gale enhanced odds is there. If you fancy Leeds, then of course play the Chris Wood to score and Leeds to win at 8. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
he's 19-10 any time. But there's no great injury problems outside of Bridcut, I don't think, for Leeds. And why wouldn't you be going hell for leather? Absolutely hell for leather on going down that middle, because I think the middle is going to be helpful to everyone around.
Yep, I agree. Draw suits both sides down to a T. Newcastle versus Leeds then. The match to end in a draw is priced up at 13-5 with us here at William Hill. That's the televised fixtures taken care of then on Good Friday. Now we can hear Pete's thoughts on the rest of the championship before we go to Gav Puchalowski on League One, and then Al Ross takes care of League Two.
Let's start then with Bristol City against QPR. 10-11 Bristol City, QPR 3-1, the draw 5-2 at the time of recording. Now, you might think that this is a bit of a weird one to choose. Bristol City, of course, still have a huge amount to play for and to fight for. They're still trying to survive, of course, in the Championship. But that win over Wolves last weekend has certainly given them a bit of a decent bracket, 4 points clear of Blackburn. But their home form actually for a while has been very good. Only Fulham have gone there and won since mid-January. They've beaten Huddersfield comfortably at Bristol City as well. They've beaten Wolves, they've beat Rotherham, as they should do. But they've drawn with Wednesday and Norwich as well, which are pretty good results. For QPR, well, there's nothing left to play for, is there? 50 points, safe in the league. He's done a good job, Ian Holloway, but he can't get his side going on the road. This is a QPR team that, under Holloway and of course before, have won just 3 games on the road since October. Their most recent away win was back in February against Birmingham, and since then they lost at Preston, fair enough, drew 0-0 at Leeds, which is a decent result, but they lost at Derby and they lost at Villa. Now, while Bristol City aren't as good as Villa or Derby or Preston or Leeds, you still have to worry about them in this game, I think, QPR. 10-11 for Bristol City looks very, very good, of course. They've still got a huge amount to play for, but how are they going to win it? Well, we've mentioned the fact that QPR don't really score goals on the road. We'd certainly be looking at Bristol City and overs on the goals, something similar to what happened against Wolves. 9-5 Bristol City and over 2.5. Over 2.5 in the game individually is 10-11, which looks very good as well. As for goals, well, those 7 that they've scored in the last 2 home games have seen the return to form of Tammy Abraham. The Chelsea loanee started the season absolutely fantastically, but slowly but surely it started to drip back after a real dry spell. 6 goals in 10 games means that Tammy Abraham, surely in the last few games for the football club at even money anytime, looks very good. Listen, Bristol City aren't a phenomenal side. They, of course, stung me big time against Wolves last weekend, but I'm going to happily take them here to beat QPR at 10-11. You might look at Huddersfield this weekend and think, yeah, 10 points off second, albeit with the game in hand, they're probably not going to make the outright places now, so do I just start to oppose them, just with them focusing on the playoffs? But David Wagner is a man who comes from a stock of really wanting momentum. Whatever tournament that he has ever gone into, whether it be as a manager or as a coach, he has always wanted that momentum, and he said as much this week as well. It also helps that they take on a Preston side who, of course, have won just 4 times away from home since early September. They do not particularly travel well. They were battered, of course, in West Yorkshire by Leeds last weekend too. So all in all, the 3-4 on Huddersfield looks good. Now, yeah, okay, Huddersfield have occasionally thrown a bit of a strange game in. The home loss to Burton, the home loss to Wigan, and even the home loss to Sheffield Wednesday at the time was a bit of a surprise, but I can't really see it here. It's difficult to oppose Huddersfield, but of course, when you're backing Huddersfield, you're backing them to do it by a goal. Now, admittedly, recently, that has got a little different. Of course, they beat Brighton 3-1 at home, they beat Norwich 3-0 at home. But if you've been backing Huddersfield to win a game by a goal this season, you are absolutely in the money. Huddersfield -1, Preston +1 on the match handicap tie at 13-5 will give you Huddersfield by a goal. Now, a side full of plenty of great players, the likes of Wells and Billing and Kachunga and so on and so forth, would suggest there's plenty of goal scorer options, and it would be right to suggest that. But Elias Kachunga has been a good pick all season, 11 league goals for the German, scored in their last home game as well against Norwich. Well, that's certainly a good looking bet for me anyway, 13-10 Elias Kachunga. But this is a Huddersfield side who still, I think, have plenty to play for. 3-4 is a very good price. They'll want the second leg, of course, being at home in the playoffs as well. So the higher at the playoffs that happens, the better for you. 3-4 is great. Preston, a superb side, who've had a superb season, but away from home, should not really be carrying your cash, let alone at the John Smiths this weekend. Huddersfield, the pick here. I think it's important whenever we put bets up, whether it be on this league podcast, the punt, the golf podcast, of course, whether it be in-play radio or Bet TV or whatever it is that William Hill offer you, I think sometimes it's important that we put up the arguments against what we think will happen. And I think that's important in this game. In fact, the game that includes my nap of the Friday action. Norwich take on Fulham. Now, Norwich are 13-10. The draw is 11-4. Fulham are 9-5. For the record here, my nap is going to be Fulham draw, no bet. But let's look first at why that might not be a great idea. Norwich won 7-1 against a talented Reading last weekend, hitting loads of goals in the first half and being frankly terrifying. Their home form has been very, very decent. And when I say very, very decent, I mean absolutely exceptional this season. Just 3 losses at Carrow Road to Preston, to Leeds and to Huddersfield would scare any side, let alone Fulham. They score goals. 5 against Forest, 2 against Blackburn, 2 against Barnsley, 7 past Reading. Why, Pete, you may argue, would you go with Fulham here? But read a couple of articles about Norwich this week. Just have a little look. See if some of the terminology doesn't half strike you as a group of guys who, perhaps understandably, with nothing to play for, are now a little bit on the beach. The 7-1 as well, as much as it was an incredible performance, and it was an incredible performance, does feel a little bit like it was about how poor Reading were on top of how good Norwich were. Now, Fulham, of course, are one of the few teams with something still to play for. They can try and pip Sheffield Wednesday to 6th place. They've won 2 of their last 3 games. They lost their last away game, of course, at Derby. But they have won 4 of their last 7 on the road. That's not a bad record, is it? In fact, I'd go as far as to say that's really not a bad record. 5 of the last 10, if you want to extrapolate it, expand it into something slightly more palatable as a stat. But like I say, they are far too good a side here, Fulham, I think, to roll over when there's so much at stake. Now, this is an overs game. It is 1 for your coupon. It is 4-9. This is a both teams to score game. It's 1 for your coupon, but it's 2-5. But with so much to play for, and Norwich may be in the market being slightly flattered by their phenomenal victory over Reading, I think means that you can put together a real argument for Fulham to win this match. A really decent draw no bet price, and that, don't forget, is a nap at 21-20. So you've got all of this swirling around, and you know, you could argue that with their home form as good as it's been this season, Norwich, why wouldn't you want to back an odds against price? There'll have been 1,000 podcasts that I did this season where I said, look at how good this team are at home. Look at this, oh, decent away side, but you have to go with a home form. There will be many, many times I would have said that. But on this occasion, late in the season, I think it's worth opposing Norwich here. So my nap of the Friday action, don't forget there's more action after that, but the nap of the Friday action is going to be draw no bet Fulham. A phenomenal side, but I think they're going to pip a very decent side, a very good home side, but I want a little insurance on my side.
A lot of sides in League One only have 4 games left, and with the fact that there's going to be 2 games played so close to each other over the Easter bank holiday weekend, it does mean that a lot of stuff is going to be resolved in League One in terms of who's getting promoted, who's going to nail a playoff place, and who is going to be relegated. And I'm starting my 3 favourite shouts for Good Friday with one of the sides who could win, and still be relegated, but at least they're going down with a fight, and that is Coventry at 11-5 to beat Charlton. Coventry are too big at home at 11-5 to beat Charlton. Coventry under Mark Robbins, more disciplined, tighter, clean sheets, scoring goals. They've actually won four of the last five games straight, if you include the Checkered Trade Trophy final, and Coventry have won the last three games straight at home as well, whereas Charlton away from home conceding plenty. Three at Rochdale, four at Shrewsbury, two at Northampton, Sheffield United and Peterborough. They have conceded over 1.5 goals in each of the last five games away from home, Charlton, and they haven't kept a clean sheet in any away game in 2017. But as bad as Coventry have been all season, Charlton still only 15 points ahead of the Sky Blues, and given the fact that we're coming to the end of the season, that tells you how poor Charlton have been. I think Coventry too big. They could go down still with a win and still go down, but they're going down fighting. And at 11-5, I think they'll play to beat Charlton. Somebody who's at the other end of the league is Sheffield United, who confirmed promotion from League One back to the Championship after 6 years with a 2-1 victory at Northampton. And they're away at Port Vale, a Port Vale side who suffered a dismal defeat away at Chesterfield last weekend, and they are in serious trouble. Port Vale, they are a point from safety, but their home form is better than their away form, and the next couple of games for Port Vale, at home to Sheffield United and at home to Bolton. Two very tough ties for Port Vale. Port Vale managed by former Sheffield United favourite Michael Brown. And Chris Wilder has come out with Sheffield United and said, "We are going to win the title. That's what we're aiming for, and we're going for the 100 points. If Sheffield United win their next four games, their remaining four games, they will hit the 100-point margin, which will be a record-breaker for the Blades." And Chris Wilder really wants that. And the thing with Sheffield United, when they win away from home, they do it with plenty of goals. 3-2 at Oxford, 4-2 at Swindon, and 2-1 at Northampton. So I'm backing the Blades to win, and I'm backing the Blades to win with over 2.5 goals at 13-10 at Port Vale. My next bet is Swindon, also struggling at the moment, but they are closing the gap. They are third bottom, but they're closing the gap on Port Vale and Gillingham and Shrewsbury. Swindon have actually won a couple and drawn their last three games. A real boost of confidence of late, and they've taken 7 points from nine. And Swindon's home form, they've played some tough teams of late, and they scored goals, and they beat Millwall, and they drew with MK Dons 1-1. But Wimbledon away from home, they're kind of limping back to how Wimbledon were away from home. Not winning games, not scoring goals. Their season is done and dusted, Wimbledon. They're not going up and they're not going down. And I think Swindon at home, having to win this game, I think they have a play at 6-5. It could be Swindon and unders, but I do like Swindon at 6-5. So my three best bets for Good Friday are Coventry at 11-5 to beat Charlton. It's too big. My nap selection, which is the Blaze to beat Port Vale and over 2.5 goals at 13-10. And Swindon at 6-5 to beat Wimbledon. On Good Friday, it's just over 15-1.
There's a lot of value in League Two this Good Friday, a lot of big prices and one very short price that would normally make this treble. However, there's too much good value elsewhere. For instance, some of those that won't make this week: Luton, 1-5 to beat Leighton Orient. The sad fact is Orient's players haven't been paid, and unless they get their wages by Friday, they can legally walk away from the club. That's how bad the financial situation is there. One scored, 20 conceded in the last six, destined to the drop. And at a Luton side who are fourth, and in with a great chance to bolster their goal difference in what might seem an unlikely bid for automatic promotion, until you realise that second and third are playing each other. They're even money to score three or more, 8-5 on the -2 handicap. Take both by all means, but I'm not taking the outright on Luton here. In that battle of third place Portsmouth at home to second place Plymouth, Pompey are yet again seemingly considered invincible at home. They're not. Against a Plymouth side that's only lost once since before they got that famous 0-0 draw at Anfield, 8-13 on the home side is mad, 9-2 on Plymouth is not. That's not making the treble either. Wickham have a great chance to end their home hoodoo against a visiting Mansfield side for whom recent defeats have dashed hopes of a playoff. That's not in the treble. Accrington, one of the most informed sides in the country, so even at Blackpool 11-5 is big, also not in the treble. Why don't they make the treble? Here's why. Firstly, Stevenage. A cursory glance at their form line suggests a wobble. Actually, it's 1 point from the last three away from home. The home form reads, in 2017, played 8, won 8, conceding just 2 goals in all that time. And who's in town? It's troubled Morecambe, where all is not happy right now, though they've pretty much guaranteed their safety and are on the beach, which is handy given it's Morecambe. At 1 point from their last 8 games, and that was at home to a Hartlepool side whose away form is genuinely terrible. So to get a Stevenage side with eyes on the playoffs at 7-10 at home is crazy. That's the sort of value that's making the treble this week. Notts County likewise. Their only defeats in the last 12 have been away at Stevenage and away at Leaders Doncaster. They're 9-5 to beat Crewe. Now, Crewe were on a decent run until recently, but they're safe and they've lost the last 2 games. Notts County, not just 4 straight wins, but their last 3 were against playoff hopefuls Carlisle, in-form Colchester and in-form Wickham. This is a club that spent most of the season flirting with relegation, but they're now closer to the playoffs than the drop zone, and a 9-5. And with so much value on the big prices, I've got to take just one of them. So I'm going for this one because Doncaster are already up. Plymouth, at least in public, have conceded the title race. I'm thinking a trip to in-form Colchester may not be the easy ride that Doncaster would have wanted. 5-2 at home to take advantage of what might even be a literal hangover is far too big. League One football was guaranteed for Doncaster last week. Colchester, meanwhile, are a win away from the playoff places. Now, I've waxed lyrical about Doncaster's home form this season, but never their away form. And Colchester have won 8 of the last 10 on their own patch, including the last 3 in a row, and that includes a 4-0 thrashing of Stevenage in their last home game. So 5-2, I'm value hunting. But speaking of Stevenage, they are the strongly favoured Knapp this week at 7-10. If you want to throw Luton to beat Leighton Orient into this, you can if you like. It makes it about 19-1. But the official treble this week, Stevenage, Notts County and Colchester, 15.66-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.